Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good afternoon and welcome to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. I'm here with Eddie from Farah and Farah, and he's here to answer your questions today. Give us a call, 855-765-1045. Again, that phone number is 855-765-1045. How are you doing today?
Good, Candace. Thanks for being here today.
Glad to be here. Good to be back.
Yes, good to be back. And we were off last week, but we got things to talk about today. Of course, we want your phone calls. They have priority, but I do have legal topics I want to cover. And, of course, questions we will take as they come in. I think they have the number, don't they?
Right. 855-765-1045.
Perfect, perfect.
So,
okay.
So what are some of the topics?
Well, I want to get into something that comes up almost every week. We talk about people call and they have these legal issues. They don't really justify an attorney getting involved because it's not – maybe there's not a lot of money involved and they're not lawyers that are going to take this kind of cases. Or plus lawyers, most on these smaller cases, they don't work on a contingency like we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we get they want money up front. I mean, they want their time. They want to bill you for their time. And a lot of times it's, you know, hundreds of dollars an hour. So it's really not cost effective for an attorney to get involved. So you really want to go and look at, I mean, Duval County has this. And it really applies to all the counties in Florida. They had this small claims court process for anything under $5,000.
Okay.
You can go online and you can submit. You have to have the complaint notarized because you're doing it online. But you can submit your lawsuit online. You don't even have to go to the courthouse. You can go to the courthouse and they will help you prepare the documents. But the website gives you forms you can use yourself. For almost every type of legal action that you need under $5,000. Now, that $5,000 excludes costs and so forth because you have to pay a filing fee.
Right.
You have to pay the sheriff in Duval County $40 to sue to serve the defendant with the papers. And every county is different when it comes to the service of process. But generally, the filing fees are based on how much money you're suing for. So the more money, you'll say you're suing for $5,000, the filing fee may be $200.
Mm-hmm.
But really, all in, if you do it on your own, you'll get, it's going to cost you max probably $250 to file it, $40 to for the sheriff to serve the papers.
Okay.
So you're at $290, something like that. Now, if you really want to lock it down, you know, spend $50 through the Jack's Bar Association. Remember, they've got that attorney referral service, and you can talk to an attorney that specializes in the issue that you're having, and you can talk to him for $50 for a half hour. This is a guy that probably charges $300-$500 an hour. So for $300-$400, you can get all the legal help you need.
Right.
Between the clerk, talking to the Jack's Bar Association, and the lawsuit cost and everything. And if you win, the judge is going to award you all your costs back. He won't give you the $50 you had to pay the Jack's Bar, but your filing fees, your sheriff's fees, all that comes back to you. You'll get that in the judgment.
So can you think of a situation in which somebody might want to use this?
Well, somebody, as you said, we've had people call, you know, I've loaned somebody $2,000.
Okay.
It could be it's a breach of contract. It could be a money issue.
Right.
I mean, it can encompass anything under $5,000.
Okay.
But what happens in small claims court, which is unlike, you know, the circuit court and so forth, when you file your lawsuit, when you do it online, you get a court date immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that court date is. And everybody has to show up at that court date down at the courthouse. So and when you get there, if the defendant doesn't show up and you've served them, because you have to have proof of service that the sheriff did get to him and gave him notice about the court date as a due process requirement, of course. But assume he's been served. He doesn't show up. Then you're going to get a judgment that day. The court will enter a judgment on your behalf. But if the defendant shows up, the judge will ask him, hey, do you admit this or do you deny it? I mean, he can still enter a judgment. And if sometimes the judge will right then order a mediation. If you're at the courthouse and both of you are there, you'll try to, they'll do a mediation to try to resolve it. So there are many ways to get it resolved. So if you're, so if you get a judgment at that court date, because you'll get it that day, you have to then execute on the judgment. You got to get your money. The guy didn't show up or whatever, or doesn't want to pay you. That's where the hard part comes in, because you probably have to get a, you're going to have to get a lawyer to execute on the judgment, because it's more complicated. If you want to go pick up somebody's car to have it sold so you can get your money, or you want to go execute on a bank account, or if you want to go garnish some wages, or if you want to do whatever the law allows you to do to get paid, you probably need a lawyer for that. But some people, and not just, you know, people, sometimes companies, like credit card companies, I've seen them, they'll get the judgment and they'll just record the judgment, because once they record it and once you record your judgment, that's a lien against any property that person has. And it's going to show up on their credit.
Yeah.
So let's say that person, you know, goes and applies for a bank loan to get a car. Your judgment's going to come up. That's going to affect his ability to get a loan. Let's say he tries to go get a mortgage to buy a house. That judgment's going to come up. They're going to have to pay you before they go get that mortgage, basically. So a lot of times people just file the judgment. You're getting a legal rate of interest on it, so it's gaining value.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to hire, and plus you don't have to hire a lawyer to go try to execute on, because a lot of times people may not have anything to go after. So, but you, when you record that, it's a lien against all their property, and eventually, you know, they're gonna have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Either when they apply for a car loan, mortgage, whatever it is, even they go to try to rent an apartment, that judgment's gonna come up. So there's more than one way to skin a cat, but small claims courts for things 5,000 and under is very easy to do. It doesn't take a lot of your time. Now, I've been down there, and the only waiting part is when you have your court date. I mean, that's a huge, there's a lot of people there.
Right.
And so they call your name and you got to kind of wait. So plan on killing probably 2-3 hours down at the courthouse on that first court day. But if the other side doesn't show up, or even if the other side shows up and says, yeah, I do owe the money, I just can't afford it, the judge is going to give you that judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, it's a pretty much streamlined process. It's not expensive. And again, the judge will award you all your fees and costs if you win, so you won't be out of pocket anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's kind of the small claims. It's online. You can look it up yourself. But I wanted to kind of bring it to everybody's attention, because we do get calls all the time.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize they can do it themselves. Mm-hmm. They think that they have to get a lawyer and go through the whole process.
No, you don't. And there are a lot of things that you can do without a lawyer. The courthouse has, they got facility, or we have people there now that will work you through, like, simple name changes and mm-hmm. other legal things that go on that you'll be able to, you can avail yourself of those services without the need of hiring a lawyer. So,
yeah.
So there's good things down at the courthouse. There's some bad things going on there too, but there's some good things there that can help you. And they're there to help. And the clerks are all very helpful. And heck, you don't even have to go down there. You can do it online. But anyway, so that's kind of my summary on that.
Yeah.
And so if anybody has any questions, you can call me at the office, or
of course they can give us a call, 855-765-1045.
Yeah, and you know, Georgia has a new distracted driving law. You know, what is distracted driving?
Oh, and they just signed that into law here in Florida this week. Actually, Governor DeSantis did. So it won't go into effect until July, and then January they're going to start writing citations.
Yeah, well, the Georgia law, I haven't looked at the Florida law, but the Georgia law says the driver shall not be engaged in any actions which shall distract such driver from safe operation of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Does that mean and distracted driving can be anything. It's not
right.
Just texting. It could be eating something, mm-hmm. drinking something.
Got kids in the car, that'll distract you.
Talking on the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. So this law, we'll see how it's enforced, but anybody, I mean, distracted driving could be anything.
Oh, it's a whole mess of things.
Yeah.
How many times have you been like driving to work and you see somebody putting on makeup or eating or doing a bunch of different stuff
right.
You didn't even know was possible.
Right. Right. No, but this law now gives it more teeth where they'll be able to pull people over, I guess. They see you doing something.
Yeah, so I know how the Florida law works is it's going to be a $30 fine and then a $60 fine if you're caught a second time. But it will be a primary offense now.
So we'll see what happens with that. I know Florida did have a texting statute before.
Mm-hmm.
This is a more enhanced law, I think. They've given it more teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I think the police officer couldn't pull you over if he saw you texting. I think if he pulled you over for something else,
and
he saw you doing something, he could give you a ticket. But now I think it's got a little more substance to it, which it should.
So we are going to head to our first commercial break, but we are taking your calls. The phone number is 855-765-1045. You're listening to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. Welcome back to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. We are taking your calls. The phone number is 855-765-1045. Right now, we've got Bill from Ponte Vedra on the line. He's got a question about 401k protection from creditors. Let's go to him. How are you doing, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
Good. How are you guys?
Fine. How you doing?
Good.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on. What's your question?
Oh, I just want to know, it's easier if you consolidate your assets into one brokerage firm. And what's stopping me is I know some creditors have access to IRAs, but they don't have access to 401ks if you get into a problem. Not that I'm in a problem.
Right.
But anyway, I'm just wondering about that. And each state is different.
Yeah.
And I just moved from California to Florida, and I'm just wondering about that.
Well, Florida has, we're a personal injury firm, but I'm somewhat familiar with it a little bit. I know we have a homestead exemption, a homestead rule here in Florida that your home is exempt from the claims of creditors. So I don't care if it's a $200,000 home or a $10 million home on the ocean in Ponte Vedra. That home is exempt from the claims of any creditors. So a lot of people, take advantage of that. I don't know if you remember Bowie Kuhn, the old major league. He was a commissioner, baseball commissioner years ago, and he was in a financial situation in New York. He moved down to Marsh Landing and bought a home there, a very expensive home. So that's and he was protected from the claims of creditors based on the Florida homestead law. So that's one I'm aware of for sure, and I'm pretty sure you're correct that the money in your 401k is exempt from the claims of creditors also. Now, what some people do, a lot of people, there are other ways to, as you know, there are other ways to hide your, to protect your assets. And we've talked about this before, especially when it comes to automobiles, because a lot of people's liability is, God forbid, cause of a bad accident. You know, and somebody's, we have cases, I can just see it. People are in the hospital for 2 weeks and they got, $500,000 hospital bill, And so it's a lot of money and it can, that's just the hospital bill. And then they got, you got pain and suffering and then they can't work. And here's a claim worth, a couple of million dollars all of a sudden. And a lot of people don't have the insurance coverage to cover it. So, we've told people in the past that your cars should be in your own name. Like if you have two cars and you're married, one car should be in your wife's name, the other car should be in your name, and that the assets should be in both names. That way, if they sue your wife for causing an accident, they can't come after any joint assets that you and her have together.
Right.
So you probably know that, although it's like in California, but that will help you in Florida.
How about the IRA? Can they attach the IRA?
I don't know, but I can get a definitive answer for you on that because I have an attorney friend of mine who is a collections specialist, and if you want to leave your phone number and name, that I can call you back on Monday.
All right, that'd be nice.
Right, and our producer will get your name, and I can call you back. So.
All right.
And do you have any other questions in that area that I could ask them?
No, that was the only one I got.
Okay, the IRA. Okay, find out.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
And right now we've got Randall on the south side has a question about collecting judgments and liens. Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Randall?
Hey, Randall.
Good morning. Yes, you perfect a lien on somebody's property
But is there still a rule that regards to you have to refile that lien after 7 years?
There is a refile. Again, there is a refiling part of that. Is it 7 or is it 20? I don't know.
That's what I'm asking you. I'm not an attorney.
Yeah, hello, but I'm a personal injury guy. I know there's a refiling requirement, but I think that was changed recently to where I can find that if you need to know that answer, I can reach out to someone and find out. But the clerk's office would also tell you that, because once you get your judgment, you can always ask them, when do I need to refile a certified copy of the judgment so that it remains valid against any of their properties and so forth. And I think there's a way now to perfect it to where it's statewide, where, you know, it's not just Duval County. Let's say you get the judgment in Duval County, that it's recorded like in every county automatically in the state of Florida. But that's something the clerk's can explain to you. But if you want me to find out, I can.
Yes, because I've been a small business owner, and once you have a lien against the property, you have to, in the past, you had to perfect it after 7 years, but it was kind of a waste of money. But I have been successful on liens, like you said to the other gentleman, that they can't sell a house until they pay off that judgment. The problem what I ran into was with the state attorney's office on the 713-345 misapplication of construction funds. You can get a felony arrest on the individual. You get a judgment against them, but there's no probation put on them, so it's a waste of time and energy and cost. But if you don't do the legal stuff, IRS won't let you write it off your taxes as a small business.
Yeah, well, I'm talking.
So you waste money both ways.
Well, no, not really. I'm talking about civil. I'm not talking about criminals.
I know.
I'm talking about civil. You record.
Well, see, JSO will tell you, and the state attorney's office will tell you, like if I have a contractor doing work on my house, and they sign a release, a lien that says they paid their material supplier, and all of a sudden I get a lien against my house. I say, wait a minute, this guy's guilty of a felony misapplication of construction funds, and they come back and say, no, that's a civil matter. I say, no, it's not a civil matter. It's right there in the Florida statute, 713-345. So I've been through this, and there's no remedy. The piece of paper that you get is worthless.
Yeah, well, no, it's not worthless. I mean, it's a judgment that you record that's a lien against the contractor.
Mr. Farrer, I have more judgments from the state attorney's office through all the years with Ed Austin, Angela Corey, and I went out of business in 2015 and actually retired.
But
you can't collect on them. That's the problem. You cannot collect on them.
Have you tried to collect on them? Have you hired an attorney to try to collect on them? The state attorney doesn't give you judgments. The court gives you judgments.
My attorney is Richard K. Jones with Mosley, Pritchard Parrish,
right.
Knight & Jones. And he can tell you all the horror stories that I've been through in the 30-something years that I was in business. It's always something. And if you get a judgment against somebody, then they go file bankruptcy.
Yeah, can't stop them from doing that.
Georgie Proctor looks you straight in the eye and allows a dismissal of unsecured
That's
judgment.
Correct. Now, the bankruptcy is something that you can't avoid. There are certain districts that can't be discharged in bankruptcy. But the type of stuff you're talking about would be discharged. No, you're right about that. Look, there's no perfect system in place, but most people don't file bankruptcy. I mean, if they got a job and they got assets and so forth, they're not excited about filing bankruptcy over maybe a $2,000 or $3,000 bill. They'll find a way to make it happen and pay it instead of filing bankruptcy. That's been my experience. Maybe your judgments are such a large amount, people have no choice but to file bankruptcy.
Now, I had one for $5,300. And the guy filed bankruptcy, and Georgie Proctor dismissed my thing. In fact, I didn't realize the guy had a federal lien against him, and he got a check for $6,000. And as soon as that check hit his account, IRS and those criminals took the money right out of the account and said, "Screw you, Mr. Lockwood," and that was it.
Well, if he had assets when he filed bankruptcy, the trustee would have taken those assets and paid off the creditors.
They did.
Why
did they took every cent of the check out of his checking account?
Who, the IRS did?
I have more horror stories over the years. You'll recognize my name when you look up the phone number and stuff. I was just curious about the perfection of the 7 years on a lien on a under $5,000. Where some of the ones I did under $5,000, I did the work myself.
I'm going to find out for you because I want to know for myself. And if you leave your number, I'll call you back.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, and we're still taking your calls. Phone number is 855-765-1045 as we head into a break on Consumer Law Hour. Welcome back to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. We're here to answer your questions, so give us a call. The phone number is 855-765-1045. Again, the phone number is 855-765-1045. Right now, we've got Susan from Jacksonville on the line. She's got a question about her daughter's liability after a crash. Hey, Susan, how are you doing?
Hey, Susan.
I'm doing great.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
She has a car that she loaned somebody money to buy. It was a cheap car, and she put it in her name till they paid her back. Well, in the meantime, he had an accident about 2 weeks ago and wrecked the car, and it wasn't his fault, although I'm not sure who got cited for it. The gentleman who he hit wasn't hurt, according to him, that day. Well, now he's suing. The insurance in the car are in my daughter's name. She was at work. She wasn't in the car. How much liability is she going to have?
So she has liability. So it was her car. It was in her name alone?
Yes.
Okay, she loaned it to somebody else who caused an accident, correct?
Yes.
Okay, did that person own a car too?
The person...
Because the person who was driving her car at the time of the accident.
No, that was going to be his car.
Okay.
Since he paid back.
But it was still in her name?
Yes.
Okay. Had he paid her for the car?
Most of it.
Okay. Was she using the vehicle also?
Never.
Okay. She may be okay because there's some case law out there that says even if the car is in your name, like in your daughter's name, if you really didn't have beneficial use of it, and you would not have responsibility. Let me tell you about a case that happened here in Jacksonville. The accident happened on JTB. Very bad accident. The car was in the husband's name, but the husband and wife were divorced, and the husband never got to use the car. They were divorced. She had the car.
Mm-hmm.
They just never transferred the car in to the wife's name. So they tried to go after the husband because the car was in his name, and the court ruled that even though the car was in your name, his name, since he did not have beneficial use of the car, the wife kind of controlled it and used it all the time, that or the ex-wife did, that he would not have any responsibility for that. So her insurance company, has she reported it to her insurance company?
Yeah, it was Geico Insurance.
Okay, well, Geico, she needs to tell them that, look, I shouldn't be responsible for this because I had no beneficial use of the vehicle. Even though it was in my name, he controlled it. He had it, and it was just a matter of getting it transferred into his name, some paperwork and so forth. So I think she's got something. I think that's the way to deal with it. Now, these insurance companies, they need to – sometimes they won't – that's the law. I mean, the problem is you're dealing with an insurance adjuster who has to go talk to a lawyer because you're not – Unless she's actually been sued, like gotten papers from the sheriff,
hasn't been served yet. Well, she imagines that may happen.
Yeah, and then their lawyer will get involved, but your daughter has to explain to the lawyer and to the adjuster that look, he was paid for the car, he had almost paid for it, he had the vehicle. The fact that it wasn't totally paid for it may be a little bit of an issue, but if he had control of the car, you may be okay with that. But nonetheless, her insurance company will. Defender, does she have full coverage?
No, I think she had an inexpensive because the car wasn't worth anything. So.
Well, if she didn't have bodily injury coverage, the person driving the vehicle, did he live with anybody that had car insurance? Like, was he living with his parents?
I don't know the answer to that.
Let me tell you, if he was living with his parents. And driving your daughter's car, and he was insured under his parents' policy, they would take care of it.
Okay.
So you need to find out, you know, where he was living and who he was living with and if he was living with, like,
a
relative.
About the person who was driving her car.
Right. If he was living with his parents, then they may have coverage on their car insurance policy that covers everybody in the household, which would be him.
He was living with his uncle, I think.
Oh, then maybe. Well, if his uncle, when he applied for if his uncle, when he applied for his car insurance, said that his nephew was living with him, then he would have been listed as a driver, and he would be protected under his uncle's policy.
Okay.
So that's something that needs to be brought out to the attention, because you don't want them coming suing your daughter, who doesn't have full coverage, when you get there's insurance on the other side that would pay him for his injury.
Right. Okay. All right. Wonderful. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, call me if you obviously have any questions.
Direct
you.
All right. Thanks, Eddie. Sure. Okay. Yeah, good luck. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Susan. And right now we have Greg in McClenny. He lives on property, but the deed's in his brother's name. So he has some questions because his brother recently died. How are you doing today, Greg?
Hey, Greg. Okay. is the deed in your brother's name alone?
Yes. I don't know. For some reason, it was in Mama's name, but they transferred a year or two back over to his name. Now, why, I don't know.
Well, was it in your mother's name alone when she transferred it?
I think it was in his and her name.
Okay, and
I think, and I'm not real sure on that. Now, it might have been just in Mama's name alone, but my understanding is they put it in his name and he borrowed money against it.
You had the deed?
You've
seen a copy of the deed?
No, sir, I have not.
Well, who's telling you this?
Mama, she said it was in my brother's name and he passed.
Okay, is your brother married?
Legally, yes, but him and her have been separated for about 30, 35 years. And she's got her own bank account, and he's got his own bank account. But it's still, legally, they're married.
Is this a home? Is there a home on the property?
I live there, yes, sir. I've been upkeeping it for 25 years or so.
Yeah. Well,
I was wondering about the adverse ownership or something like that.
Well, I don't know if that's adverse possession, because you were they were allowing you to live there. The problem is, I mean, I'm not a probate lawyer. I can call you money and give you the name of one, but I'm telling you, I think that does the brother have any kids?
He's got three.
Well. Because he's still married, between the wife and the three kids, it's going to be theirs.
Right. That's what I'm scared of.
That's what's going to happen. Unless you can work out something with them.
Right.
I mean, is there a lot of equity in the – I mean, who's been making the payment on the property if money was barred against it?
I think Mama and Steve has been making the payments.
I mean, if there's not a lot – is there a lot of equity in the property?
No, it's just 10 acres.
No, but is the property worth a lot more than what's owed on it?
It probably is.
Well,
I wouldn't say that much more, but, I mean, it's out in the country.
Yeah, because what they may say, somebody's going to, if nobody's making who's making the payment now?
Well, right now, don't know.
Well, have you contacted the mortgage company to see if it's current? Because if it's not current, they'll foreclose on it.
But it should be current, because Mom and Steve, like I said, they was working together on that.
I mean, you could go to the wife and to ask her, say, look, I'll just keep the – if y'all transfer the house over to me, I'll keep up the mortgage or I'll make the payment. Otherwise, they're going to – I mean, the bank's going to foreclose on it and take it.
Right, because ever since I moved out here about 27 years ago, you know, he said he was going to leave me. It's supposed to be divided three ways, me and my two other brothers, since he bought the place. Now he's passed and there was no will or nothing.
Right. That's a tough situation. I mean, the best way to handle it is to contact the family members. I mean, if you can show that, and if you want to stay out there, of course, if you show, look, we owe, I'm just giving you an example, we owe $10,000 on it, and it's only worth $12,000, it's not worth selling, and there's no money to divide up. Let me give the property to me, and I'll take care of the mortgage, and I'll pay it. And otherwise, I mean, eventually the bank, once the bank stops, you know, getting paid, they're going to, you know, do something about it.
In other words, I really don't have a leg to stand on.
It's going to be very difficult from what you've told me. That they're still married. He has three kids. I mean, I mean, you could maybe claim. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be difficult. Very difficult. Unless you can,
like I said, you know,
unless they, you can, do you know where the
really
wife
ain't
is?
Had nothing. The hell, they ain't even been together in 30 something years.
I know, but
legally.
But even if they were divorced, let's say they were divorced, his kids would get it.
Right. Yeah, I can understand that part.
Yeah, well, I mean, what kind of relationship do you have with the wife? I mean, you could talk to her and say, here's the deal. Or maybe pay her a little bit of money to get the property. You could buy it from her.
Right. All right, I was just checking my options on something like that.
Yeah, well, good luck. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I probably need it, but thank you.
Yeah, call me if you have any questions at the office. I think, you know, there's some things you could do to get that property in your name, but you have to reach an agreement with the family.
Right.
All right.
Okay, I appreciate your time.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
And you can give us a call. The phone number is 855-765-1045. Right now we've got John from the South Side on the line. He's got a question about jury duty.
Hey, Eddie, how you doing?
Fine.
Listen, I've been summoned for jury duty, and I understand the responsibility and all that. I've served three different times. However, I'm an independent contract self-employed. I will lose $250, $300 to go down that day.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm selected, even more than that, you know, for other days. Is there anything I could do? It doesn't seem right for me to have to give up $250,
$300
to sit down there all day.
I don't think you have a choice on that based on that. To tell them that I'm gonna lose out on some money is not a reason to get out of jury duty.
Right. There was a way to change your date if you had already a vacation planned or airline tickets and you were gonna lose those, but I didn't see that as an option either.
No, I think it's something that I mean, it's your civic duty. I mean, it's a very important duty to.
I understand. I mean,
it depend on people like you to be there to help solve, you know, solve these issues, solve problems. I mean, that's what you're there for.
Three times.
Three times a lot.
Okay.
I don't know anybody.
I haven't even gotten picked once.
I mean, I was wondering. I mean, the fact that you've done it three times already, does that give you like a free pass? I don't know.
Right.
I'm 62 years old, so over the course of my lifetime, I've been.
Yeah, that's still a lot. Because they used to choose people only from people who are registered to vote. Now it's anybody who ever has a driver's license. So they've expanded the jury pool.
I was under the impression it's like when you renewed your driver's license, but I haven't done that in 4 or 5 years, I guess.
Well, I think
coming up next year.
Yeah, I think they're pulling people from people who have a valid Florida driver's license. Now you can always call. Is there a number? Isn't there a number there to call if you can't make it? Or
not if you can't make it. You don't have an option. You're subject to fines and penalties and whatever.
Okay.
If you can't make it,
right.
You have to make it if you agreed to it. But from before, I remember a gentleman in the front coming to the jury pool. If you think you have a reason why you shouldn't be here or can't be here today, you can come forward and plead your case to the judge. But still, I have a contractual agreement to customers to take care of the service for that day. So I have to I will lose the money by not working, but I have to hire somebody else and pay them to cover all that that work.
Right.
So
I mean,
it's a little unfair.
A lot of people are in that position, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not the only one. I mean, I mean,
there's a lot of people that get paid anyhow, you know, from their employer.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people that are like you that don't get paid by their employer and have to. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand. There's a lot of unemployed people that would be happy to go down there. They're not working anyhow. And
I know, but you want a jury pool that's a cross section of the community. I mean, you want people from all areas of the community to be part of the jury pool. But
yeah.
I mean, I think you need to go to the judge, go that morning, and you know, look, when they start it off, you can pitch your situation and see if he buys it or not.
Yeah, well, and the other side of it, my dad was a policeman here in Jacksonville for 35 years, and I don't feel like the police just arrest people because they're not guilty. So they're going to get a guilty verdict from me regardless.
Well, how do you know it's a criminal case?
It
could be a civil case. It could be a breach of contract.
Yeah, it might be one of your cases.
Yeah, it could be one of my cases. It could be a slip and fall or or it could be the car accident that we're just talking about. You know?
Maybe I'll see you on Tuesday the 28th, Memorial Day.
We're down there a lot. So.
All right, yeah, thanks for your time,
Eddie.
Make
sure you take care of my client if you're down there, man.
Good luck to you.
Okay. Guilty!
We are heading into a commercial break. You're listening to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. Welcome back to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. We have one last caller, Kevin from San Sushi, on the line. He's got a question about transferring a vehicle title. How are you doing, Kevin?
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Eddie. How are you?
Fine.
Good. Look, my dad has had a car in his name. He's 93 years old. Of course, we've taken his license away, and now he wants me to take the car and put it in my name. And I am curious about, can I say it's a gift to me, or do I have so much money that has to be paid for the car?
You mean like sales tax or something like that?
Yes. They used to ask that on the title.
Yeah, how much you pay for it? Because you have to pay the sales tax.
Yeah. Could it be a gift legally or?
I don't know. Why? Have you talked to the DMV about it? And asked them?
No, I actually just sent away to get the title. Apparently, they keep the title now in Tallahassee. And in Jacksonville, and you pay $250, and they'll send me a copy, and then I'll look that over.
Well, he doesn't have a title. He doesn't have his title.
No, they never gave him a title. It was it's almost like they're holding it in the DMV electronically.
Is the vehicle pay for?
Oh yeah, it is.
You should have a title. I mean,
oh yeah.
Oh yeah, they send
like
a title.
Paper title. Hmm.
Anyway, whatever. You'll get a title from him. A lot of people, even if you don't have a title, you can get a limited power of attorney for you, so you can sign it over to. He can give you a limited. A lot of times, people do that.
Oh, okay. Well, Dad's, you know, he's got all his faculties and everything like that. And he says that the bank never gave him his title over from Vistar, and that he thought that it was with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I got on the computer and actually sent them $2.50 mm-hmm. for some kind of electronic copy, I guess. So I have to wait for that to come, but I know that it's, a tax that goes with it, and I don't want to make a mistake.
There's a sales tax based on the value of the sale of the vehicle.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I think you ought to reach out to DMV and ask them, hey, it's a gift from my dad. Do I have to pay any sales tax on it?
Okay. Oh, okay.
I mean, that's all I can tell you. I mean,
He should have a paper title, though, right?
Yeah, he should already have that. I mean, I don't know why. Yeah. It's not my understanding. I know if people lose their titles, you can write the DMV and they'll send you another title.
Yeah, but I think that's what I've done. I went online yesterday. But I'm going to go through his boxes because maybe he has a title and he mm-hmm. just doesn't remember it.
I just want to advise you about the sales tax issue. You know, I mean, it's a gift. Maybe it's based on the value of the vehicle, even if it is a gift. But DMV can answer that question for you.
Well, I'll definitely give them a call.
Good luck.
Thank you so much for your call. And thank you all for listening to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. Thank you to Eddie Farah, and thank you to our producer, Scott Young. Have a great Saturday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.